Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. So today's topic is strengthening a low arch bench press. So recently I made a post on social media about whether or not a high arch in a bench press was necessary, and specifically for females. So I have females that I train for powerlifting and strength sports, and we go over the bench press, and a lot of them see in social media where it's more common among females than males, where there'll be people who have these crazy arches. I mean, their feet are actually like tucked under the bench, actually like under their head or even further behind that, and they just look like nuts. And people wonder, can they still be strong without that arch? And they think that arch is like, the bigger the arch, the better, or something like that. That's absolutely not the case. There are a ton of strong males and females who have what would be considered a low arch bench press, and they're incredibly strong. So the best bench presser in the world is Jen Thompson, and she has what would be considered a low arch bench press. Now, she has worked on her arch. She has talked about where she would lay on a deflated football to try to, like, open up her arch and get her into a better position. So she has worked on it to try to get a better arch, but she does still have what would be considered a low arch bench press. So we've actually had Jen Thompson and some other high-level female powerlifters come and train at our facility, like coach and have, like, clinics at our facility. And it's awesome to get to learn from them in person. So she's a great example. There are others out there, but today we're going to talk about you. So if you have a low arch bench press, can you still get strong? Absolutely. So we're going to talk about how to do that and what might be the difference of focus in your training versus somebody who has a higher arch. So if somebody is learning how to bench press from someone who benches in a different position than them, and that person is just teaching you to do everything the same as them, that is not correct. So you should have different accessory work. You should even have different cues. You should approach your lifts differently if you lift differently. So if you're taking programming from somebody and they just take you and shove you into their body position, that isn't always the best case, because you might be built differently than them. And also, if you definitely lift in a different position than they lift, then stuff should be different. So overwhelmingly, it's kind of like it's a battle of unknown. So people who are getting programming from somebody else, it's hard for you to be aware enough of these nuances, otherwise you'd probably be training yourself. And then people who are writing programming for other people are often completely unaware of the fact that they're doing it incorrectly. So it's not like either person is being, like, deceptive. It's just the person buying the program doesn't know any better, the person writing the program doesn't know any better, and there's no, in the world of personal training, there are personal training certifications, but by far and above, most of them are horrible and do not do justice in terms of teaching somebody what they really need to know to be a personal trainer. So there is no real standard of education to where, okay, everybody who's writing programming has at least this level of knowledge, and we can ensure that that level of knowledge incorporates understanding individual differences of main lifts. Unfortunately, that does not exist. So there are a lot of people writing programming who don't know what the hell they're doing, and they're just making everybody else do what they do, which is absolutely not correct at all. Okay, so let's go through this. So why do people arch in a bench press? The reason for it is when you lower the bar down from the top of a bench press, and you're lowering the bar down towards your body has a tendency to flatten out, meaning like you're going to get kind of like smushed like a pancake as the weight comes down. And then that puts you in a very weak position to try to press back up. So the idea of an arch is to kind of create like a resistance to the weight. So you're creating like a coil. So if you think of a bridge, if we, underneath the top part of a bridge is almost always an arch. And the reason why is as you push down on the bridge, an arch actually becomes kind of tighter. So if you push down the top of an arch, it actually just creates more pressure into that center stone and kind of the centerpiece of the arch. And it actually makes an arch kind of tighter. Like, the way to mess up an arch would be to actually push up from the bottom, not push down from the top. So the idea of the arch is you're creating a resistance to that weight. That weight's going to be coming downwards towards your body. By having a nice arch, you're going to be kind of like fighting that bar, flattening you out. So that way you can stay in a nice, healthy position and strong position to push back up. So the other part of that, like I just kind of alluded to there was health. And having an arch is healthy in the sense that it helps create a better positioning for your shoulders. So that way, as a bar comes down and touches your chest, that's an extreme, extreme stretch on the front of your shoulder if you were to do that in a completely flat body position. Whereas if you have an arch, it's almost like creating a decline press to where you have a little bit less of a stretch in the front of your shoulders, and that can alleviate some of the stress in the front of the shoulders. So an arch makes you stronger, an arch makes you safer. Now, is an arch necessary? No. You just have to work on creating whatever degree of arch that you can get. So can you put your shoulders in this healthy position, safe position? Can you give your body some resistance to flattening out? If you can do that with, say, like 3 inches of an arch, fine. If you can do that coiled up like a question mark, fine. So there are actually a ton of examples when I've worked with beginning females who are hyperflexible and don't have a ton of muscle where they can actually overarch. They can get into such a ridiculous arch that they actually don't have tightness. So they actually kind of go the other extreme. So sometimes too much of an arch is actually a negative, whereas we would be worried about whether we have enough of an arch. So it can be kind of both ends of the spectrum. So, now, why can't some people arch? Just because of different body builds. Some people are tight in different areas. Some people have really long torsos. So typically the people who can arch well have very short torsos. From their shoulders to their hips is a very short distance, and they can kind of like do like a back bend and make a pretty good coil there. Somebody with a longer torso, they're going to have a harder time bending and stretching that distance. So that's why some people can't arch, and there's a bunch of other reasons. Like, I've had people with hip mobility issues, knee issues, shoulder issues, thoracic, lumbar, whatever, tailbone issues, all that stuff. So sometimes it's just not a strong position. So for myself, I've had shoulder surgery, and I have metal plates, and I've torn some stuff in my shoulders before. So if I arch too hard, it actually puts too much of a stress into my shoulders, and I actually feel dangerous, and or I've gotten small pec strains, bicep strains, shoulder strains. My body just can't handle that position very well. So I actually, on purpose, have less of an arch to my bench press so I can alleviate some of the stress out of my shoulder and put it more into my triceps and chest. So that way it kind of shares the amount of stress that the shoulders can handle. Now, over the years, I've worked on improving my shoulder strength so I can get back to more of an arch to get stronger. So it's kind of like one of those things is you want to avoid things that hurt, but also make sure they don't hurt forever. Work on rehabbing them. So now, the training details. That's all kind of the background information. So the training details is when you have a low arch compared to a high arch, a low arch is going to require kind of more raw power and raw strength. So when somebody has a high arch, they might only have to move the bar 2 inches. And if they get their shoulders tucked to a certain position, they get their body moved to a certain position, they kind of lift their rib cage to a certain position, all of a sudden all these highly technical positional aspects allows them to shorten their range of motion. And then therefore they can kind of like move heavier weight, but it's due to the technical aspects of their positioning, not raw power and strength. Whereas if you have a flatter arch, you do have to just be more muscular, be more strength, be more powerful. So that's what you're going to work on. Since you have less like trickery in your position, you just have to have more muscle. So more of your effort in your training should be put towards physical strength development as compared to technical development compared to somebody who has a high degree arch. So if somebody has a higher arch in their bench, they probably need to spend more time working on the technique of that, getting used to the position of that, than somebody would if they had a flatter arch bench press. Okay? So, technique is absolutely still important no matter which way you bench, but too often what I see, unfortunately, is women come in, and men, if they have a low arch bench press, they'll come into the gym, work on the technical aspect of their bench press. So they'll come into the gym, you know, do some volume at 80%, 85%, you know, maybe a couple singles at 90, and then that's kind of like all they really do. The rest of the stuff they do is light stuff. So they might go do dumbbell presses for sets of like, I don't know, like 8 to 12. But again, that's more like 30-second-ish, 40-second-ish time under tension stuff. It's not like raw power strength development. So they don't spend enough time under heavier things. And that's what we're going to work on. Okay? So our first focus, if you are a low arch bench presser, is to focus more on muscle damage. Now, when I say more or less, I'm going to be comparing that to somebody who has a high arch position. So if you have a low arch, then compared to somebody with a high arch, your programming should have more raw development, strength development, than the other person's. It doesn't mean that they wouldn't benefit from having more either. It just means that in relation to 100% of your work, more of your work is going to be put towards kind of bodybuilding, strength developing, kind of accessory work, rather than a lot of time spent bench pressing. So if somebody has a high arch, they're going to spend a lot of time getting in and out of their bench position so that way they can find the right positions. So that's why they might need to spend more time in the technique development. And the reason why is because if they're, you know, a quarter of an inch one way off this way or that way, they might not even be able to move the weight that put on top of them at all. So whereas we said flat benching, you have to have raw power so you can be a little bit out of position and just muscle your way through it. If somebody has a highly technical position, like a high arch, they are going to be so sensitive to where they're always overloaded above what their raw power strength actually is because they're relying on this weird position. So the second that position isn't absolutely perfect, they get destroyed. So they have to practice that position over and over and over again. So since our goal in a low arch bench press is going to be obtaining a bunch of muscle damage, we have to do things that beat the crap out of the muscles. So what I tend to do with programming is I tend to do what's called overloaded techniques. So when you think of a single lift, there is the normal version of that lift. There is an underloaded version and an overloaded version. An underloaded means that something, the way you're doing it, feels insanely hard under what your normal one rep max is. So let's say your normal one rep max is a 200-pound bench press. And I'm kind of picking these numbers because this advertised, again, towards like female flat benchers. So, but it wouldn't really matter what that number was. So even if you're a male and you can bench way more than 200, you still want to kind of apply these concepts if you have a low arch bench press. So let's say your one rep max is 200. And you do a certain type of technique on the bench. It might be a multi-positional pause bench. So maybe you're trying to lower the bench press under control in terms of speed. So you might lower the bar down, pause an inch above your chest, bring it the rest of the way down, touch your chest, and then power and explode back up. So that will absolutely limit what you can do. You will not be able to bench 200 pounds doing it that way. So that is an underloaded technique. It'll make you feel fatigued and reach failure under your normal. An overloaded technique is the complete opposite. It allows you to handle heavier weights than what you normally can. Now, overloaded techniques, for example, might be banded overload. So you have bands from the top of like a squat rack coming down to where you're benching. And that helps like in the sense of the bands will pick a little bit of the weight up off the chest at the bottom of the lift, but they still allow you to be maximally loaded at the top of the lift. So we have a couple different ways we set up bands and all these kind of specific things. So if you hear any of these specific variations, you would like videos, descriptions, or whatever of them, shoot us an email at brutalirongym and we'll send you a video of it. So a banded overload helps you move heavier weight than you normally can. So do weight releasers. So things you hang on the end of a bar that you'll lower down controlled, really, really heavy, more than you can ever press back up. And then once the bar gets kind of really close to your chest, the weight releasers hit the ground and they fall off right before the bar touches your chest. And now all of a sudden you can press the bar back up under lighter weight. So those are called weight releasers. You can YouTube or Google that if you don't know what those are. We also can do banded compensatory acceleration training, which is kind of shortened as CAT, C-A-T, compensatory acceleration training. And what that means, you're just trying to move the bar as fast and as violently as you possibly can. So if you do that with bands on the bar, with a banded from the bottom, that is an enormous, enormous amount of beating the shit out of your body. Now, the caveat to that is that's not an overloaded in terms of weight load technique. That's an overloaded in terms of stress damage to the muscles of the bench technique. So there's a little bit of caveats, but this is the details that is helpful to know in training, but sometimes it's a little bit too like in the weeds for these podcasts. But there is overloaded in terms of more weight than a person can normally handle, but then there's also overloaded in terms of more stress. And we're talking about positive stress, so positive muscle damage. So you can overload in multiple ways. So, for example, banded cap benching, compensatory acceleration training, that's an overload in terms of damage, not weight load. We also have dumbbell work, and you can do dumbbell work in different ways to get an overload effect out of that. You can also go above the recommended volume for bench pressing. So we've done in a recent podcast, we talked about one of the markers of knowing whether you've done enough work for strength training is Prolepin's chart. That will tell you at a certain percentage of your one rep max how many sets and reps you should do. For females specifically who are low arch bench pressers, I tend to do a higher volume than Prolepin's chart actually recommends. And that's assuming we're doing a regular bench press. If you're doing an overloaded style, you don't need higher volume because you have the overload as the stimulus. So like the variation is your stimulus. Whereas if you're doing a regular flat bench work, I tend to program higher above that typical volume, because it helps accumulate more muscular damage. So there's kind of like some tips. And then we also use isolation work. So I will have my flat bench, flat back benchers spend more time doing isolations just for the chest, just for the triceps, just for the front delt, just for the biceps. So they spend more time doing isolations so they can further create that muscular damage that we need. So the big focus for flat back benchers is to beat the shit out of your muscles and really get your muscles challenged, get them stressed. Now, if you beat the crap out of yourself on Monday and you're supposed to bench again on Thursday and you can't move at all, okay, you probably overdid Monday. So the idea here is typically I have people bench twice a week. There are absolute differences. I have some people who bench 3 to 4 times a week. Some people only bench once. Some people only touch a barbell once every 2 weeks, depending on whatever their issues are. But in general, people should bench about twice a week, or you should do something to address your bench press twice a week. That may be a better way of saying it. So we tend to push the limits of trying to, by the time they come back in for the next session, they're still a little sore, but they're safe and they're ready to go. But they definitely shouldn't feel like, man, I could have lifted yesterday and I'm sitting around here waiting the whole day. No, no, no. So we have them pretty much, we have the volume set to where, like, if they bench Monday and Thursday, for example, Monday to Thursday is only 2 days in between. So our volume tends to be a little bit lower. Whereas Thursday, there's 3 days in between. You have Friday, Saturday, and Sunday before you bench. So the volume tends to be higher. So we tend to kind of make sure that the volume we do carries over into the next training session. Even if it's only a one-day difference, that is a difference. Now, so that's the main focus right now, that if you are a flat back bencher, the first thing you absolutely want to focus on is obtaining muscle damage. Since flat back benching requires more raw strength, raw power, you have to create that strength and power. So you can't just technique your way to a better bench. You have to actually beat the shit out of your muscles and get them growing. Okay? The second focus we have is to lock your lats in for shoulder stability. So when you're benching, when you kind of bring the bar out, and as the bar is coming down, if you do not lock your lats in, and what I'll explain this in a little bit more as we keep going here, but what that means is you're trying to create like tightness from your shoulder to your hip. So it's almost like if you sat there, if you're sitting upright right now, and you try to pull your shoulders down towards your hips, you're going to kind of feel those are weird muscles. So if you try to do that right now, so just try to, like, using the muscles along the side of your rib cage, try to pull your shoulders down to your hips. And you'll feel that kind of, sometimes it limits your breathing, by the way. But that's your lats. Your lats are trying to pull the shoulders down. When you create an, like, whatever arch you can create, so even if it's a low arch, if you create an arch at all, and then you can fire your lats, that'll help hold that arch position. So what you do is, we have a video, so if you're interested, you can check it out on YouTube. It's a dumbbell setup for bench press, and I can even send you the link. So if you're interested and you can't find it, shoot us an email, brutalirongym@gmail.com, and I'll send you the link. But when you lay back to bench press, if you're under a barbell, you should kind of, the first thing is typically getting your shoulder blades pinched together, so that way you have tightness inside, on the inside edge of your shoulder blades. Then you're going to kind of position your feet, position your hips, do whatever you got to do. We tend to usually pick up the hips and push through the feet to push your body up into your shoulders. What that does, that allows you to flex your thoracic spine and kind of pinch your shoulder blades even harder together, get the rib cage lifted, create some of an arch, and then you want to try to, as you're pushing your shoulder, your hips up towards your shoulders, you want to create that tension of flexing your lats. So almost like you're pulling your shoulders down towards your hips. So you have your hips being pushed up to your shoulders, you have your shoulders being pulled down to your hips. That creates that nice tightness from hip to shoulder that creates a good arch for you. So other exercises that help you feel that muscle and get that muscle stronger are straight arm lat pull downs. We do pull up isometrics and heavy negatives. We even do weighted pull ups for females who are strong enough. We do a shit ton of wide overhand grip pull ups. and then we do dumbbell pullovers for people that it's applicable for. So the bread and butter that we tend to use is pull-up variations. So pull-up isometrics, pull-up negatives, like even assisted pull-ups if the person can't do pull-ups on their own. And then we do straight arm lat pull-downs and dumbbell pullovers every now and then. So that's the idea, is creating lat stability so you can lock your shoulders in place. So that way the shoulders have a nice stable brace base to all the muscles that are connected to the shoulder. They can push aggressively. So if my chest muscle is connected to my shoulder and my shoulder is wobbly and not set in place, my chest muscle can't fire very hard because it's pulling off of an unstable base. So it's just like if I told you I wanted you to sprint in sand versus having cleats in grass. If you have cleats in grass, you're going to be able to sprint way better. You're going to have more control of change of direction. The whole process is going to go a lot smoother than somebody trying to run in sand. So that's the idea. By locking your lats in, we create good shoulder stability, which gives all the muscles connected to the shoulder a nice stable base to fire from, giving you more power and strength. It also protects your shoulders. So we'll get into that a little bit more here in a second. So the first focus was obtain muscle damage. The second focus was locking in the lats for shoulder stability. The third focus we have is to create a wide base with your feet. So since you are not creating a super arch where your feet are going to be pulled underneath you, it means your feet are going to be out kind of like in front of your hips. So what you want to do is take your feet, make them very wide, and make them flat on the ground. Now, there absolutely is some argument over being flat versus toed. Now, that's not T-O-A-D, a toad. So it's T-O-E-D. So it's having your toes pressed into the ground versus your whole flat foot. So I'm a big fan for low arch bench pressers to do a flat foot because it's going to give you stability and bracing. So that way you have the pressure of your upper back into the bench. We're going to talk about the next cue here in a second, is your butt actually shouldn't be accepting pressure on the bench press. The fat of your butt should be on the bench press, but the muscle should not. And then you're going to have this wide base with your feet. So your stability on the bench press is actually a triangle. You have your left foot, your right foot, and your upper back. That is what's kind of pushing into the earth as you try to push a bar off your chest. So that's where your focus should be. So if you have a wide, flat base with your feet, that's going to give you a ton of stability. So since we are relying on raw power of our upper body to move that bench press, we don't want to give our upper body anything else to do, work-wise, than just move the bar. So if you create a wide base with your feet can actually balance the bar left to right. So if you need to stabilize the bar, if it's tilting a little bit to the left, you just drive harder from your left foot into the floor rather than using your upper body muscles to pull the bar to the right. Okay? So you want to use your feet to create left to right balance in the bench press. And then your feet pressing into the floor with a nice wide base is going to give you a ton of resistance to that flattening out of the arch and a ton of power to where you can push through the floor to help push that bar off your chest. Okay, the fourth focus that goes along with this is to lift the glutes off the bench. So like we said, your pressure supports of the bench press should be at three points. It should be a triangle. Left foot, right foot, and upper back. Your butt should not be pressed into the bench press. Okay, that's going to limit how much power and stability you can get out of your legs. So the fat of your butt should be touching the bench because the butt does need to touch the bench for like powerlifting rules. But you shouldn't have the muscle of your butt pressed into the bench press. It should be very, very lightly pressured on the bench press. So what that does is by having your butt very lightly pressured, it creates more and more pressure into your feet and more pressure into your upper back. That triangle becomes more stabilized. So that's actually the goal. And that'll help you, again, kind of fight against flattening out of the body. Then the last focus we have is to focus on squeezing your mid-back. So as the bar comes down, you want to pinch your shoulder blades really freaking hard together. So it's kind of like if you're doing a seated cable row and somebody told you to pull the handle back and really squeeze your back. And then when you got back there, they said, it's not squeezing enough. Squeeze harder. That would be kind of the goal. So as the bar comes down, you're trying to pinch and squeeze the middle of your back as insanely freaking hard as you can. So many times when I'm teaching people how to bench press, they'll talk about how the focus isn't even on the press itself. They're like, everything hurts so bad because I'm trying to press into the floor and I'm trying to squeeze my mid back. That's not necessarily a bad hurt. It's a stabilizing, just muscular involvement. So they're thinking that the bench press is an upper body exercise. It is not. It is a full body exercise. So you have to have your feet pressured into the floor. You have to have the mid back squeezed so damn hard that that's almost the only thing you can feel is your back squeezing. What that does, it lifts your rib cage. It, again, prevents the flattening of the arch as the bar comes down, and it protects your shoulder health. Okay? So squeezing the mid-back and keeping your lats tight braces those shoulders down, and that way, again, all the muscles connected to your shoulder can all be strong and powerful because they're pulling off of a stable base. Okay? So that's the idea. If you're a low-arch bench presser, you need to focus on obtaining muscle damage. Don't focus so much attention on technique. You do need to do technique work, but get in the minimal needed and then go do a shit ton of accessories. And that would be weirded, like isolation work. So in your technique work, we often do overloaded styles. Like we said, band overload, weight releasers, banded cat benching. We do a whole bunch of variations of bench where they can still work on their typical, like their normal competition cues. So we still keep a barbell in their hand, for example. And they can still work on their technique cues for a competition, but we do it in an overloaded manner. So that gives them technique work while also getting muscular damage. So rather than just doing a regular barbell all the time, we'll make them do weird stuff. And that way it beats them up more and gets more muscle damage. Then after that, you want to go do your isolation work and get even more damage into those muscles. Okay? Then with the actual technique of the bench itself, you want to focus on locking in your lats. You want to have a wide, stable base with your feet. You want to lift the glutes off the bench. All of that creates that triangle, that nice stable base. And then you want to squeeze the mid-back as the bar comes down. Okay? So that is all that adds up to a super-duper awesome, wonderful, amazingly strong bench press, even if you can't create a super-duper arch. Okay? So those are the 5 points. And if somebody is listening to this and you've actually listened to this far and you have a low arch bench press and you want to learn how to get stronger, we'll send you a free 8-week program. It'll have warm-ups, it'll have the bench work to do, it'll have the accessory work to do, and then a couple like tips and pointers for like shoulder health, mobility stuff. So rehab, prehab, kind of prep work. So we're going to send that to you if you'd like it. Just shoot us an email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. We'll send it to you. It's free. Just try it and have fun. So it's just as a thank you to listening to the podcast. We appreciate it. So we want to make sure that we give you information that's helpful. Sometimes listening to the words of the podcast are helpful, but getting to see it on paper and then actually getting to put it into practice is going to make it even more helpful. Okay, so if you would like that 8-week program, just shoot us an email, brutalirongym@gmail.com. We'll send it to you, and then you can try it and see what you get from it. Okay, so I have helped multiple females bench over 200 pounds. I've helped a bunch of males do like state records and kind of like high level benching for their body weights and stuff like that. So this program does work. I know it works. For myself, I graduated high school at 18 years old. I'd already been lifting for 2 years, and I couldn't bench 225. I have had some small injuries to my shoulders. Like, I popped both my shoulders out of place and tore some shit in my shoulder when I was in football in high school. So they weren't all just me being a dummy in the gym. I had some injuries related to outside of the gym. So I broke my collarbone 3 times in my life and had to have, like, atrophy and issues due to that. I have metal plates put in there. So all of that stuff. But still, from 18, I went from a 225 bench, and I now have a 430-pound bench press. And I'm actually due to test it again, and I'm hoping to get a little more. So I have seen it work firsthand in my life, and I've seen it work a bunch of different people, and all of them had different positions. So like I said, if I've benched with a high arch before, I've benched with no arch before, I've benched everywhere in between. So this concepts and stuff like that I'll send you is specific for a low arch bench press. So put that to use. If you have a high arch bench press, shoot us an email and I'll send you a program for that. Okay? So I just kind of threw that in there right now off the top of my head. But if you are listening to this and you have a high arch bench press, I'll send you a program for you guys too. Okay? And you can even look at the differences between the two. So that's it. So hopefully this was helpful. Hopefully it gave you some food for thought and gave you permission to not have a crazy arch. That's okay. You can still be strong. Cool. Okay, so if you like this information, you can find more from us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, Brutal Iron Jim. Also, if you like the podcast, please share it with family and friends. The more people we help, the happier the world will be. And if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, we would love to hear from you. So the podcast is for you, so we know what you want to learn about. You can reach us at our email, brutalironjim@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.